All right. So miners, why are miners minor? Easy answer.
They're small.
They're small. They're short.
They're short.
Yeah, they're small. Minor prophets are all under 5 foot 2. Just kidding, right? No, they're just shorter. remember that. That's kind of important. So if you walk out of this class, I mean, there's a lot of spiritual lessons, but that's kind of a basic fact. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people don't know. So you'll win on Bible Jeopardy. All right. Last week, we asked this question. You guys with me? Can you guys see me? I'm talking to people online. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
What if I talk in like, what about this? Can you hear me if I talk like this?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Good. Great. Okay. I'm going to try to preserve my voice a little bit. It's a long day for me. There's a lot of meaty stuff here in the book of Jonah. And in the sermon, I'm preaching on identity, and it's kind of meaty as well. So could you guys pray for me this morning to just have God's strength to get through the day, not my own? Yeah, so.
Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this day of worship and praise. And I do just want to lift up Pastor Alex into your hands today, Lord. He has such a heart to teach and to preach. And Lord, he needs your strength. He can't do it on his own, and he doesn't want to do it on his own strength. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give him that energy today, give him that clarity of mind and of speech. Give him your spirit to share your word and share your heart to your people. And so, Lord, would you use him in Sunday school and on the pulpit this morning to be your mouthpiece to your people today, Lord? Bless him and use him in your name, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, so here is one of the key here's one of the key questions of where we what we were talking about last week. Why did God use Jonah? Right? Because that's what we'll be looking at this morning. Why did God use Jonah? Why wouldn't God fire Jonah? You know, I use that phrase, or just move off of Jonah, use somebody else. Amos was a prophet at the same time in a different area, right? Why not use Amos? Okay, we're going to come back to that question, but I want to let that kind of carry your thoughts. All right, so. Huh?
I have a guess.
You have a guess? Well, yeah, let's wait for it. What do you guys remember? Clara and Ryan did a really good job last week of telling us the whole story of Jonah. Pretty good memory. I like that. That was cool. So we have our youngest ones telling. By the way, our youngest ones in November, I think, are going to be leaving us. All of. You know, like you two and Ryan and Elise, and above, Peter starting another kind of like a foundational course. Yeah, so you guys get your own class, right? We've been talking about how it's kind of, it might be a little bit like Ryan's feedback, for instance, was he thinks there's like good stuff that he's learning from this class, but he feels it's like too deep for him. But maybe that's just Brian. I don't know. But you guys always have a choice too. So but he's being sensitive to kind of like a younger age group that wants to also think, that also wants to, you know, because, you know, Sunday school, we're getting into a little bit more of our thought process and stuff. All right. So we see that we got Nineveh. He is from what city? Do you guys remember? Jonah is from? There's a word that means cow in there. Gath-hepher, right? So he's from Gath-hepher. It's called to go to Nineveh in the northeast. Nineveh is part of Assyria. Can you guys see my mouse? It's like Assyria was like the big empire at that time. He goes down to the port city called what? You guys remember? Joppa. And he paid the fare, board the ship, goes off to where? Do you guys remember the city that he wanted to flee to? Tarshish, very good. And we saw that, why Tarshish? Because Tarshish is the farthest that you could go on a boat, right? You can, so it's not even like, oh, he just wants to go to, Kevin Casey made a guess, maybe Italy, right? Man, this is Spain. He went like, Italy would have been here, right? Like Rome, could have gone to Rome, that's far enough. Man, he went like five times the distance to go to Tarshish, okay? Very opposite direction of Nineveh as far as he could go. You know, as soon as he goes here, he's gonna start going to the Americas, right? What we're gonna do this morning is we're actually gonna read through Jonah. I've highlighted kind of like the verbs and stuff like that. And as we look at the actions or the highlights of each character, I want us to look at the different characters. You guys identified these characters here last week with my nicely bright blue pen here. You guys said that there's Jonah, there's the worm, there's the sailors, there's the king of Nineveh, the fish, and God, and people of Nineveh. I don't know why God kind of got erased, but all right, so have your Bibles open to chapter 1. I'm going to try to keep an eye on the time here. I don't want to like delay too much. Okay. So from what you see, we're not going to read out loud. My voice is not going to allow it. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. Who are the three characters that we see kind of majorly? Three, maybe four.
This part?
Yeah.
Jonah.
Okay, you got Jonah. Well, it starts off with the Lord, right?
Lord.
Mm-hmm. And? Lord,
the sailors.
Yes, the sailors.
The captain.
And the captain, great. Okay, so we see about four people. We're going to focus on Jonah and the sailors. And I highlighted the action of the sailors. So tell me, what do you see about Jonah? Why is he he's running away from the Lord? Why doesn't he just say no? What do you think? And he's afraid of... That's kind of what Clara and Ryan were saying last week. He's probably afraid because Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, which is pretty wicked. And they were saying, yeah, if I go there and I preach a message to repent and turn to God, that God will spare you if you repent. Ryan and Claire were saying, they're so bad, they'll probably just like do something bad to me. So, okay, good. So it's like, he's running away. But why not just say no to God?
Probably because he thinks like God will like take control of the situation, like he'll get like pushed there.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So if he gets more distance, the push will be like less effective.
Right. Okay, good. Right? Because if I say no to God, you know, that's very, I think it's harder for us to actually even say no to God. It's easier to just like kind of close your eyes and like try not to think about
it. Put it aside.
Yeah, put it aside.
I think he never said no to God before.
Yeah. Which is a good record, right? You're like, I don't say no to God. I just push it aside. I'm not sure if that's ever happened to you before, where it's like, you kind of know that God wants you to do something, or God wants you to obey, or God wants you to respond to him in a certain way. And you're like, I'll just think about something else. Right? You guys with me on that? What do you notice in verse 3? It's like, for me, I heard Frank preach a sermon on Jonah before. Or at least I remember the first part where he said, when you look at verse 3, every verb is like a conscious disobedience. And it's like he's going, even physically, like every step, like farther and farther away. Right? But it starts with that one decision, right? I'm going to run away from the Lord. So I'm going to go down, right? So he goes down to Joppa. When he found a ship bound for that port. And after he paid the fare, he went aboard. And even on that ship, he went down to the bottom, laying down. Right? So in every verb that you see, you guys can move up. There's chairs here. Every verb that you see, he is making another step to go further down, further away from the Lord. Right? What does it say about him that he's going to Tarshish? We saw the map, right? Your map would be, he is on that side where Israel's at, like the words, how can you, right? And the Mediterranean Sea is like this whole thing. Kevin thought he would go to Italy, which is maybe the word Tarshish or flee, but he sailed all the way in the Mediterranean Sea as far as he could go to Spain, which is Tarshish would be over here. So what is it saying about him that he's not just trying to get on a ship and sail around the Mediterranean, he's going to Tarshish. What does it say about him? What do you guys think? This is open engagement. This is Frank's method. I don't know if Frank's on today, but
I think there's like the symbolism of like getting as far away as you can.
Okay. It's like symbolic, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like to be as far away from his mission as possible, yeah. Maybe gives him some peace of mind.
Yeah, yeah. Gives him peace.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, if I'm all the way out there, surely I won't be like,
yes,
brought back.
Right. Kevin even said earlier, if I go as far as Tarshish, if the Lord wants to have his way and change events for me to have to do it anyways, at least it's a long, long distance a ways, right? At least it's so far that maybe there's a chance for me to sneak out of that again, perhaps, right? Yeah, that's good. It's creative. What is significant about Jonah? So what we're doing for the views that just came in, right, is we're looking at the highlights. And ESPN will show you highlight reels. We're looking at the highlights, but the literal highlights, to see what it tells us about each character, right? The two main characters in this section is Jonah and the sailor. So what do you think it tells? I think Kevin was onto something. So he didn't say no to God. He's just like blocking it out. He doesn't want to, I'm not sure if he's consciously wanting to disobey, but he's just trying to make events happen. What does it tell us that he's fallen asleep and into a deep sleep? Deep enough that what? When was he sleeping? Guys, are you with me this morning? Okay, so this is class interaction, right? So I can go full-blown monologue, but we're trying to make Sunday school like that. When was he sleeping?
He was sleeping through a violent storm.
A violent storm.
I'm sure it shook the ship.
Right. Yeah, it's shaking
the ship back and forth. Right. Yeah.
Rock the boat. So boat's
my question then becomes, if this rock is so hard, how can he sleep?
How? Yeah.
Sound asleep.
He's sound asleep. He's deep sleep.
I think before this, he was frantically looking for a way out.
Okay.
And, and once he got to the boat, he finally found like a refuge.
A refuge. That's good.
Have a different thought.
Yeah, sure. What's your different
thought? God made him fall asleep to say, you know what, stop.
Good
recovery. Stop. Running away. Don't go to Joppa. Don't, of course, you know, he's doing all these actions. He's doing and physically doing all these things to get away. God, I believe God made him fall into a deep sleep because God is saying, stop moving.
Okay.
Stop moving away.
Mm-hmm. Even though the boat's moving.
Yeah. He probably thinks he's home free.
Okay. Peter says he thinks he's home free.
He's, you know, he's he had a plan to not follow God.
Mm-hmm.
His plan, like you said, was to go as far away as possible. Mm-hmm. And everything was going smooth.
Yes.
Up to that point.
Right. You got the ticket.
Got on the ticket.
The ship's moving.
Went below the deck. Went below the deck and he's like, I'm home free. God's going to use someone else.
Which he should, right? That's our main question from last week. Why did God use Jonah? He had other prophet contemporaries at the time, like Amos. Why not just use Amos, man? This guy's like obviously not wanting to do the job. Just fire the guy or let him go. Let him go. It's a nicer way to put it, right? That's what we say. You know, we're cutting expenses, right? cutting our losses. Kevin actually used a word that he said, the farther away he goes from the Lord, he's trying to like make peace, right? So he's sleeping in peace. You don't sleep deep, you know? I don't know if you're a light sleeper or not, but you know, when you don't sleep deep, you're not sleeping like peacefully, right? So there's a combination of these things going on. He is at peace with what he's, well, with what he's doing. He didn't verbally tell God no. He just made the move to say, I'm just going to do my own thing. And we've all probably been there before. We're just like, you know, I know I could actually really pray about this. I could really talk to God about this, but I think I know what God is going to say. So I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to not think about it. And the longer I don't think about it, the easier it is for me to keep like feeling at peace, feeling that Janet used a word, the ship was a refuge for him. Wow. The ship was a refuge. Who do we usually call in our Christian language our refuge? Our refuge is God. But this ship is his refuge. Even in the biggest storm they've ever seen, he don't care. That's our Bible part. He don't care. He don't care. He's like, I'm good. What was your phrase, Peter? Like, I've made it. I'm home free now. Ship's moving, we're good. I could relax. Like Janet said, maybe like he made a lot of moves to stay busy, right? Because when you don't want to think about God and you kind of already know what God's saying, you're like, no, I'm going to let whatever thoughts prevail in me that are against God. And you just stay moving, right? That's why a lot of people say it's important to spend quiet time with God. Because you need to actually stop moving for a while. It's easier to stay moving. And it's as if Satan wants to use busyness to keep our minds away. What about the sailors? What do you guys see about the sailors? All I said was like two sentences about them. And the captain is part of the sailors. So what does this say about the sailors?
I think they value their life and they're also religious.
Ah, okay. So they value their life, and I see like heads nodding, and they're religious to us. So they have a spiritual, so they're spiritual in some sense, right? They were afraid. They value life and they're crying out to God. They're not those hardened sailors that are like, you know, that we see sometimes on TV or movies, right? They don't care about their life. They're all burly, big. They don't care about anything. They're not scared. These guys are like afraid. These are people who are very familiar with water, right? They've probably been thrown like tossed overboard before, you know, those fishing vessels. You know, like when you watch like those like crabbing things and guys go overboard, you know, man, I mean, it's got to be frightening. But this is such a storm that these probably burly, strong guys are like afraid. And they're crying out to their own gods. Even the captain says that in verse 6. Like, bro, how can you even sleep? They're probably like tripping out. How can you sleep? This is the worst storm we've ever experienced. And captain's also religious. Get up. We're all calling on our God. we want to live. So if you have a God, we need everybody praying right now, right? Everybody's got to be on deck, you know, calling out to God.
But it's interesting that it doesn't matter, like, which God it is.
Doesn't matter, right? Because at that point, now I'll pray to anyone, right? Allah, Buddha, whatever, whoever it is, Greek gods, Roman gods, it doesn't matter, you know? All right, next verses. This is what Ryan and Clara reminded us of last week, right? Ryan said, Jonah got the short stick. Right? So I'm not going to read it out loud. You guys can, you guys have eyes, you can read it. I think there's some, when I was reading through this, I did a study on this when I was in seminary. So when you look at some of the words, you're like, this is unbelievable. Okay. All right. Everybody read through it? Okay. Have your Bibles open if you need. What does this tell us about the sailors? Let me see. Okay, so I didn't block out any sailors' activity here. Oh, except that the men did their best to row back to land. Okay. What is this telling you about the sailors? They're all praying, each to their God. Right? Captain even gets Jonah up and fools, you gotta stop sleeping, bro. We need everybody calling on each of our gods. Now what's happening? What's happening in 7 and 8? What do you think is happening? Elise?
Well, I think it's just kind of funny that, like, when Jonah was trying to run away, which is, like, kind of useless because, like, you can't really run away from God. Like, I feel like God looking at him.
Yes, no,
like,
yeah.
Like, going, like, really slowly, like, such a long distance for God.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm good.
Right. Nobody said that, by the way. Nobody has said, like, brought that up because I think it's hilarious, too. Like somebody compared Jonah to, like, an ant, right? Huh? Yeah, right? He's like an ant. And he's, like, moving as hard as he could to run away from the Lord, and Elise is saying, like, God's just watching him, and you're moving a very small distance.
Yeah.
Like really, like, run away from God. Okay.
Yeah, but I also think it's cool that, like, when you see, like, the deep sleep part, I thought it was cool because, like, God is saying, like, even if you're trying to run away from me, I'm still gonna use you to, like, show these, like, sailors who don't believe in me that, like, I'm the actual God.
Yeah.
So, like, this part is, like, cool too.
Mm.
But also the sailors are, like, saying, like, I don't want to throw you into the sea. I'm
right.
Gonna kill you.
Right.
But then, like, in the end, they throw him into the sea, and then they're like, yay, the storm's over, and then, like, the whale eats him.
Right. I mean, it is comical. But, yeah, I love that. There's something about the sailors that they're all telling each other, we got to call on our God. But what is he saying? What are they saying when they say, let's find out who is responsible for this calamity? Elise kind of mentioned it, right? Because it's like, this guy is supposed to be used to tell people about God, pure and simple. Like, that's his one job in life, is to let people know God. He gets on this ship, doesn't want to let people know about God. And God still uses him anyways, in a certain extent. The sailors, why do they want to cast lots? Why do they want to find out who is responsible for this calamity? What are they really saying?
The storm looks too crazy.
Yeah, the storm is too crazy. So what are they really saying? Oh, go ahead. I just cut you off.
Oh, like, this doesn't seem like a normal storm. Like,
right.
Must have done something wrong.
Right. This, someone must have done something wrong, or this can only be an act of,
oh, God.
A God. Like, they're looking for, like, the God. They're looking for the big dog God. Right? They're like, which God? It can do this. So they're soul searching, right? Kevin said they care about their life. Now they're caring about like who is the one? Jonah's not even like trying to be a part of this. That's what's funny. And as they cast lots, God's over that, falls on Jonah. And they said, okay, see, it's not just Jonah that they're finding out, like, hey, who did something wrong and offended their God? It was like, all right, you got the short straw. The short straw wasn't the short straw to be tossed over. It was a short straw to find out who you tell us right now. Who is the one responsible for this?
It's also cool. They took it for granted that, like, the God that can cause a storm can also just make sure their person gets the short stick.
Right. Oh, they have faith. Isn't that faith?
Yeah.
It's like, man, let's cast straw sometime here. who's going to teach next Sunday? Let's see who God wants to teach here. Like, Ryan, hey, you're up. Right? Having faith in that. So they find those things out. I think that's kind of significant. Jonah says, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord. Notice that is Yahweh, right? That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever we see that in scripture, that is God's name, Yahweh. And he says, he's the one who made everything. He's the creator. They don't even have a concept like that, right? And isn't that interesting? Like, he's so bold now, like Lee says. Like, I don't think he's trying. What do you think he's trying to say here? Because there's so much, like, weird irony, right? When I hear this, I don't hear him being like, I'm a Hebrew and I worship. He's saying like, I'm a Hebrew and I worship Yahweh. He's telling them, like, I worship the one who made everything, who is the creator God. I worship Yahweh. He didn't even say like, I worship our God, like the Hebrew God. He says God's name to them. And wouldn't that be kind of ironic then for them thinking like, what are you doing? Like what, like what Elise said, like, if he's the God of all heaven, where are you running to? Right? Kind of like, if he's that big, like, what are you doing? I mean, that's pretty funny. The sailors, what did they say in verse 14? What are they saying? Please, Lord. Jonah's God. Please do not let us die for taking this man's life. All right, I'm sure that. He's telling us that the way that you'll be satisfied is if we throw him over. But God, if we do this, please don't let us die for that. Right? What do you think that's telling us about the sailors?
You don't think he's just another random god that people worship.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's like the real
deal. They're already showing faith that he's the real deal. And they're like, okay, you're the one. And we like we believe. If we toss him over, like, don't count this. Don't count this as sin against us, right? I love what Claire just said. Like, they're starting to see that this is the real deal, right? Funny that storms in people's lives help people to see God, right? They didn't want to sin against Yahweh, right? What does it tell you? That they cried out to Yahweh. What is that? When we cry out to Yahweh, what do we call that? Prayer. I mean, these pagans are not praying to God. They're talking to God. Right? But the pagan practice is casting lots, right? They didn't now say, let's cast lots, because that's a pagan practice. And let's see if the short stick falls on Jonah to really throw him over, like he said. They went from casting lots now to full-blown prayer. Calera's phrase, okay, this is the real deal. He's the real deal. And if you are the real deal, Yahweh, don't hold this against us. We're not going to cast lots anymore. We're just talking to you. That's pretty crazy. And look at this word. I wanted to show you this in verse 16. I studied this in my Hebrew class, so I had to translate the whole book. Not at one time, right? It's like week by week. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to the Lord. This word, fear, literally is the same word in verse 9 up there where Jonah said, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord. That word worship is literally fear. So these guys go from full-blown pagan worshiping idols to full-blown reverentially fearing God in worship. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They don't even know what probably they're doing, but they know that idols need sacrifices. So they pray to God. They fear God with reverence. They made sacrifices to God and they made vows to God, probably like, we will follow you for our life. Jonah didn't. Was that Jonah's like missionary plan? Jonah was completely the opposite. I love Elise's observation on that. He literally was running away from the Lord, which is silly already. And as he's running away from the Lord, God's using him to like bring people to know him. Why is God using Jonah? Maybe that's the way to be used by God. I don't know. In verse 9, is Jonah's answer theologically correct? He's a Hebrew. He worships Yahweh. Is God the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land? Yes, but I would say his life does not reflect his knowledge. Do you think sometimes Christians think that knowledge equals spiritual maturity? Yeah. But what are the signs of true spiritual maturity? I don't think knowledge is bad. It's just to think that knowledge is spiritual maturity. It's not. And if Jonah is still this immature, why does he just use somebody else? He seems to still want to continue to use Jonah. Okay, so this is Jonah's prayer. Okay, so now he's in the water, right?
Okay, sorry, can I point out something?
Please.
When you look at Jonah's response, I think the focus is still on himself. Mm. He hasn't realized from God's perspective and God's plan, right?
Mm.
Like, he's thinking, gosh, I'm the one that's guilty.
Yeah.
Throw me overboard.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
It's
right?
me.
It's
uh-huh.
me.
Uh-huh.
Right? But there is another way. God never said, oh, yeah, because it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Throw him overboard.
Right,
or
right.
Throw me overboard.
Right.
So a lot of times when we sin or we make a mistake, we tend to go there.
We still make it about us.
That and also like, oh, yeah, I deserve to be punished.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I'm going that route, right?
Yeah, so I'm
going to
punish myself.
I deserve to be punished. Mm. I'm guilty,
mm.
right? But that's what the enemy wants to do.
Mm.
That's what the enemy wants to put these thoughts in you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if he just prayed to God to calm the storm,
mm-hmm.
do you think God would have calmed the storm?
Awesome.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. But from God's perspective, this whole plan, he's the farthest away from Nineveh
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
But God's plan was to save these sailors
mm-hmm.
through Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the midst of Jonah's mistake
mm-hmm.
and sin
mm-hmm.
and disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
But God's perspective is, hey, you know what? Even as far as way away, even in the midst of your mistake,
mm-hmm.
I love these sailors
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to use this to save these sailors.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty
yeah.
amazing. From God's, from you see God's heart
yeah,
and God's
mm-hmm.
compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On
absolutely. And from a flip side, I think you see almost the selfishness of people. He still makes it about himself. And what better way to get out of the whole situation? I mean, if you're asked to be thrown overboard in the most violent storm that these sailors have ever seen, you're basically telling them what? Kill me. Because the moment you toss me aside, like, I'm dead. I get to die. That's one way of getting out of a job too, right? It's like, I don't need to go to Tarshish anymore. Just kill me now. And there are lies from the enemy going on. Even as God is using him to save people's lives spiritually. Yeah, Bob.
What the enemy meant for evil,
mm-hmm.
God would use for good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure Jenny was like, when he was getting on the ship and sailing, you know, bought the ticket,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
the enemy was like, right.
Yeah.
That's,
this is good.
This is good.
This is good.
This is
mm-hmm.
what I want.
He's believing the lies.
Right. But the enemy's like, hey, good. Keep going
mm-hmm.
away, Jonah. But then probably never expected God's going to use it.
God's using this. Right. Right. Absolutely. So then God provided this huge fish. Doesn't say whale. We don't know. But they didn't know about whales. They could have said as a whale, the fish. I mean, if you guys have seen some tunas, have you guys ever seen a tuna like the size of a car? Like in Japan? Yeah, that's Bex and I saw when we were in Japan.
Delicious.
Huh?
Delicious.
Yeah, delicious, man. Peter would be in there with my blade. The little belly. Right? But you're probably cramped. Okay, it ain't like VeggieTales where he's sitting in there, he's got a candlelight, you know, it's like a den. He's got like a cigar, he's got a little couch. Or he's like able to kneel or change positions, right? It's probably pretty cramped in there. It's probably very acidic or whatever, right? Jonah says, "You hurled me into the depths." Wait a second. I was like, when I'm translating, because when you translate, right, for me, like a lot of the notes I'm writing are like my thoughts from that. Like, you're like, it's a very emphatic, "You hurled me into the depths," right? And you're like, wait a second. No, what Peter just said, God didn't tell you to do that. You could have prayed to God. You could have repented right there. You told them to hurl you to the depths. He said, "I have been banished from your sight." Wow. This guy's super dramatic. And you're like, oh yeah. Wait, God banished you? No, God called you to go. Right? Who banished who here? Jonah is blaming God for what he did. And I wonder, is that repentance? I'm not sure. He has to think about that. When you see David's psalm in 51, I mean, he is like, "Against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned." You know? There's a cry of repentance. Somehow for me, it feels more like Jonah's like, okay, thought I would die, but now I'm stuck. I can't move well. I'm cramped. It stinks. I don't even know how there's oxygen in there. So there's like some strange provision of God's oxygen for him to stay alive. There's other things that the fish is digesting. And it feels more like, all right, I tap out. Like, I tap. I just, like, just get me out of this jam. I'll do whatever you want me to do to get out of this. Okay. But there could be. He says, "What I have vowed, I will make good. I will tell them," right? Those who cling to worthless idols like the Ninevites turn away from God's love for them. "But I, with grateful shouts of praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation, I will tell them." I will tell them this, he says. "I will tell them salvation comes from you, from the Lord." And then God arranged it and blah, Jonah got vomited out. So then God told him, all right, go to Nineveh. Go share the message. So he treks all the way to Nineveh and he does that. Look at, okay, so he said he was going to say salvation comes from the Lord, right? Verse 9. Now he says, he goes around the city and he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay. What do you think about Jonah's salvation message here? Right? Is this the way you would tell people about God? Bob's like closing his eyes, shaking your head. Right? What's missing? What's missing from this?
Jesus.
How about salvation comes from the Lord? None of that.
Like, no way to save themselves at all. Right?
He said 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And then he doesn't talk about God's forgiveness. He doesn't say the word salvation comes from the Lord. But read all these greens about the Ninevites. What does it tell you about the Ninevites?
They believe in God.
Uh-huh. How does it show that?
They passed it.
Hmm? Who are the different characters here?
The king.
Okay, you got the king.
The Ninevites.
The Ninevites, people of the city. I think you guys mentioned that there before. Oh, you didn't. People of Ninevites. How about the cows?
The animals.
Yeah, the animals, right? The cows, right?
God.
God. Jonah gives this non-salvation message. And you said that they all fasted. The Ninevites fasted. It's the people. It's the king. Who else fasted? Animals. Every living thing in this great city. It's a great city. I remember when we were in choir and Sam Wu would give this message on Jonah, he would call it a great city to this Canto accent. He'd be like, go to the great city of Nineveh. No, it's not Greek. They're Assyrians. But it was a great city. There's hundreds of thousands of people. To the point where even the cows fasted. That's crazy. Do you think this was, I mean, if your job in life, you're calling from God, is to get people to turn to God. And the sailors turn to God. You're still pouting. You didn't actually say that salvation comes from the Lord. There's no music. There's no worship team getting people's hearts ready. Check it out, right? There's no like Billy Graham. You're not at Angel Stadium. It's not like a Harvest Crusade. There's like music. Let's be relevant. Let's be relevant here. Hundreds, thousands of people, including their animals, all fasted and repented, turned to God. Well, the animals, okay. Just that's kind of like silly. But it's interesting that this is what happened. If that was your job, to get people to know God, and you gave the most piss poor message, and hundreds of thousands of people are like bowing down to Yahweh, repenting, fasting, coming to know the Lord, how would you feel? How would you feel? How would you guys feel? Ryan, that's your job. And like, you now have the biggest response in your career. It's a highlight reel. How would you feel? I mean, it's pretty simple. How'd you feel?
Good.
Good, right? Feel darn good. Like all these people are now bowing down to God, Yahweh.
Actually, the image I get after you ask Ryan is like, it's like making the final shot, but it bounced off your head.
Yeah, right. I didn't really do this, but I kind of meant it to come off my head. Right? It's like, I didn't even mean to do it. And yet you see these people all turning to God from idols. And what does scripture say? But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. And he said to God, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Now you know he's saying something. He's quoting scripture now. He knows who God is. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sin and calamity. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to show them mercy. He says, you know what? Just kill me. Take my life. Like, greatest, like, repentance of a city in all of history. And he says, I'd rather die than see this. And so God's like, is it right for you to be angry? What does God do? Right? This is where Clara and Ryan remind us of last week. So he goes out of the city, finds a place, makes a little like cheap shelter. He doesn't have materials. He doesn't live there. He gathers whatever he can find, tries to sit in its shade. It's probably super hot. And he waited to see what God would do to the city. And then as Ryan and Claire told us last week, there's like a little plant, a leafy plant that grew up over Jonah to probably give him solid shade and to ease Jonah's discomfort. And now Jonah's super happy. The Hebrew said he's exceedingly happy. He's like, yes, this is so good. I have shade over my head. God gave him that shade. And then, this is crazy. And you see it in VeggieTales, right? And the next morning, God provided this little worm. And it chewed up the plant. So the plant died. So when the sun came up again, it was with a scorching east wind. The sun was blazing on him. He's so hot. And he was fainting. And he says, oh my gosh, I'm so hot. I just need to die. And he says the same thing. He said the exact same thing as he said when he said in verse 3, it would be better for me to die than to live. And God goes, is it right for you to be angry about a plant? And Jonah says, he's like pouting now. It is. And I am so angry. I wish I was dead. So he asked to die 4 times because he was so upset that all these people come to God. And the 4th time, in the Hebrew, it's like a curse. He's almost, in a sense, in the Hebrew, like, saying offensively to God. And God said, is it right for you to be this angry about a plant that died? And he's like, and he said an offensive Hebrew phrase, like, it is. I'm so angry that I wish I was dead. If you were God, what would you do to Jonah? What would you do to Jonah? Kind of like, bro, had enough.
Time out.
Time out. Or game over. Why does God even use someone like him? I think we have to find out next week. That sucks. But it's really important. It's going to be the key. If you're here today, it is so key. I'm going to have to tell the class to listen to all of your comments on this stuff, or those who weren't here. Because next week is going to be the key. Why doesn't God just smote this guy? Just smote him. Because that's the words that they would use, right? And he smites.
Stop, but should I way for it. Well,
it's 36, so let's wait for next week. All right, sorry. We have to leave and on a cliffhanger, but this is different. This is way different than VeggieTales. Right? This is way different. When you start looking at, like, there is so much irony going on here. And you have to ask, why? Why would God use someone like this? And that's going to be a key question for next week. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the prayers. Lord, it's so intense for me. It's so exciting when your scripture begins to reveal all of this fascinating truth, Lord. And we pray that you continue to feed us, Lord. We ask that our hearts will be prepared to pour out our worship to you, God. We don't want to be people who are just filled with knowledge about you, but we want to let that be played out in our life in reality. Thank you for the perspective that we have of you in working with people like Jonah. And we still wonder why, but it is a privilege that you love us so much. Help us to be aware of the lies of the enemy and what you want us to know as your truth. We thank you so much and continue to experience a great time of worshiping you together, hearing the voices of our brothers and sisters, and to be fed by you this morning. We thank you and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.